Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. Not only to share it, Lord, but to proclaim it. Because as we just sang, Lord, millions do grope in darkness waiting for thy word. And Lord, it is your word, as the Bible clearly says, that guides us. Without that word, we have no knowledge of the Holy One. Father, you have given us your word, not only the written word, but the living word, the incarnate word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we proclaim your word today. We thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity. Bless the word this morning that is given. And Lord, take me out of it completely. And let your Holy Spirit move among your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and share God's word with you. But I want us to have a little imagination session. And what I mean by that, I want you to picture yourself. Okay, how many of y'all have ever been inside a cave? And I'm not talking about right at the mouth. I'm talking about deep down in that cave where there's no light, nothing. Many of you, that's good. We have this place in Kentucky called Mammoth Cave. Has anybody ever been there? Several of you have been there. That's good. Well, back before they had all the nice lights and all the fancy electronics to help guide you through there, the maps and everything, they used to have people come in by groups and they would have their headlamps on and they would be following a rope. It was still a national park, but it was for all the days of the electronics and things like that. And there was once a group of spelunkers. Now, y'all know what spelunkers are, right? Hey, that's cave explorers. I said that word sometime and a blessed saint of the Lord thought that I was cussing at her, but I hadn't explained what it was. So they went into Mammoth Cave and they were guided by a guide, and there was about 30 of them or so, and they had their carbide lights on and they had the rope that was trailing behind them and they were falling. Well, somehow in there the rope got dropped, and a small band of about 10 people kind of went off following the dim light of their carbide lamps into another area of the cave away from the main group. Well, when they realized that they had dropped, the one in lead had dropped the rope, they suddenly realized that they were lost. So they tried backtracking, and they ended up being up against a solid wall of rock. And they were beginning to get worried, because when they had planned the trip, they realized that the group that they were part of were not going to go backwards out of the cave the way they came, but they were going to go to another exit. So here this small group of people were, and the headlights got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until they went out. And they were in that blackest part of the cave. And they were afraid to go. One of them got some courage up, and he decided he was going to feel his way back down the path and see if they could find it. So he was feeling his way back down the path, and suddenly there was nothing in front of him, and he realized there was a sheer cliff or a crevice or something there that was dangerous. So he backtracked back to the group, and they called out. And a couple of times they heard a small voice or a small group of voices, but they, as more as they called out, all they could hear is the echo of their own voice. And they were in complete darkness. Then the lights failed completely. A whole day, 24 hours passed before they began to get even more worried. They did not want to move because the one that had went found that crevice, and they didn't want to fall off into that hole and be trapped forever. And the fear came, and they didn't know where to go. They didn't know which way to look. They didn't know what road to travel by. All they needed was a light. And suddenly a light came. Y'all remember those big old 9-volt Ever-Ready lamps we used to go hunting with? Y'all remember? A park ranger had one of those, and the park ranger had heard them, and he shone the light. And when he shone the light, they saw the path out, and they proceeded to go out that path, out that way that the light illuminated. Cheers went up. But then they suddenly saw. Watch the light shine. They were only 50 yards from the natural light of the cave entrance. They were only 50 yards from salvation. But yet, all they needed was a light. It's an amazing thing that once the path was lit, they knew which way to go. But they had been trapped only a few yards from their rescue, from their salvation. If only they had a lamp for their feet and a light for their path. We do, brothers and sisters. Our text today is Psalm 119, verses 105 through 107, it says this: Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, Lord, according to thy word. I want to read it out of the King James, too, because this is the way I memorized it when I was in school. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I want you to hold that for just a minute, because I want to transfer from the writer of that psalm and the darkness in the cave into Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. And Jesus is teaching his disciples. Now, I'm going to kind of give you a background of this chapter so you can understand the context of what we're talking about here. But I want you to picture the Lord teaching his disciples. According to Scripture, they went off to a certain place. That's Luke chapter 11. And we're going to be focusing on 9 and 10, but I want us to get the background first. They asked Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he began to preach it. That's the account in Luke of the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. And after he'd done this, he taught them a parable concerning a rich man who had a visitor come in the night. And he went to his neighbor and he pounded on the door and he said, hey, I've got a visitor come. Give me something that I can serve them. Give them something to eat. The guy was like, would you just leave me alone? How many can understand the second guy? Any of us can. But yet the man was persistent and he kept knocking and he kept asking. And the man eventually gave him the food that he requested. And Jesus was like, he didn't give him the food because he was any more good or holy. He gave him so the man would shut up and leave him alone. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And that's what Jesus talked about. Well, he kept talking about that. And then he said this plainly in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, keep asking and it will be given unto you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened to you. Now hold that thought. Because right after that, Jesus had to throw a demon out of a person that made the person unable to speak. And then the Pharisees came along and they said, this man casts out demons by the prince of the demons. They said that Jesus was doing these wonderful things by the power of Satan. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, we know that from American history. Who said that one time? Abraham Lincoln said that concerning the Civil War. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Well, he went on to teach about unclean spirits and the sign of Jonah, which dealt with his resurrection. So many blessed precepts we can get from Luke chapter 11. But I want us to go down to the next teaching after all that. That's starting in verse 33. And this is going to tie directly into what we just read from Psalms. It says, no one, verse 33, Luke 11, no one lights a lamp and puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Now, I want to stop right there for just a second because we need to understand when it says clear there, that word that's translated clear also means healthy, alive, vibrant. It's good. But when it says bad, that word translated there means evil, diseased, sick. Think about it. Your eye is the lamp to your body. What you take in is good, or what you take in is bad. You know, there used to be a song, at least when I was little, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, we see that every day. You can't turn on the television or open up a newspaper or get your phone on YouTube or whatever without seeing some really bad things. And I really believe it's because many people have forsaken what the Word of God is concerning such things. Jesus says, your lamp. So what, verse 35, so watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light without any dark part, it will be wholly illuminated as the lamp illuminates you with its light. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? If you've got a light, you can see what you're looking at. You can see where you're going. You can see where you're about to fall. But if you can't see anything, you're blind, wandering around in that deepest, darkest cave that the devil, the world of the flesh, can throw at you. Brothers and sisters, the darkness in this world today is a very serious matter. We cannot take it for granted. And that brings me to this point. How do we, as current disciples of Jesus Christ, keep our eyes clear, keep our eyes healthy? Well, it's very simple. You gotta have a way to see where you're going. You gotta have something to illuminate what you're looking at, to make you understand. It's called the spiritual gift of discernment. And it's operated by the Holy Spirit, and we can all, as believers, have that discernment. But you have to have a light. I want to make an observation here. When Jesus declared that the eye is the lamp of the body, that is, what it sees and how it perceives things, that is what guides a person during his or her life. Now, I'm not only talking about the physical eyes. I'm talking about the spiritual eyes as well, both of them. Because one translates directly into the other. If you do not have that light, you will simply wander around. Now, if one scoots around in the darkness, danger lurks around every step. Even in our own minds, we don't have to be in a cave. We can be in our own home. We have stairwells. We have pits. We have traps. We have animals. You ever stepped on a cat's tail at 4 a.m? Worse yet, we have Legos and plastic army men on the floor. Step on one of those on a cold morning. We don't see them because there's no light there. Our unsuspecting feet crush the obstacle and we feel pain. And if when you fall, if you trip, it's still dark. You don't know where you're going to fall. Is there a table there? Is there a wall there? Is the cat still in the room? You're going to fall. And you won't know where you land because it's darkness. Darkness permeates the air, even on your way down. Therefore, you must, and I'll say this again, you must have a light for you to see your way. And that's where the light of men comes into play. Jesus is the light of men. John 1, 4 through 10 makes that very plain, that Christ, the living Word of God, as John 1 again makes clear, is the way of salvation, the way of God, the way to God for humanity. Yet if we don't learn of Christ, then our way is still in darkness. It is a very foolish man who stumbles around the valleys, the ditches, and the traps of this world, the flesh and the devil, leading himself and others into the pits of legalism and despair and sin and even damnation. That's where darkness leads you. But you have to have the light. What is that light? How can we see Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as he calls us out of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious light? How do we see him? Where do we see him? I proclaim today that it's by the word of God as illuminated by the Holy Spirit that lets you see the way to go. In all decisions you make in your life, in every direction you turn, you have to have the light. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that light shines so clearly, sometimes even the light itself makes you a little nervous because you see your own shadow by that light. What do I mean by that? You see your own sin. You see the failures that you've had in life. And you hear the accusations of the evil one tell you, you're not worthy, you're not anything. But if you weren't, would God turn the light on for you? Of course you're worthy by Jesus Christ. To see the light that he gives. The answer is found straight away in the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. A book itself is not to be worshipped. We understand that. But the God who gave it and sanctified it as the truth is to be honored, praised, and worshipped for this gift to his children. Now I want to go back and look at our text again today. Psalm 119, 105 through 107. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I have sworn, and I will confirm it. We read the King James. I will perform it. I will do it. I will do what your word says. And that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, Lord, or quicken me, O Lord. According to what? To your word. Because it is by the word of God that we know of the things of God. We know the teachings of God. We know the love and the mercy and the judgment of God by his word. The word is a lamp by which we walk with God. As Paul, when he was discussing the law, said, how would we know not to covet unless the law told us not to covet? You see, the law, the word of God, of which the law, the prophets, and the writings, all the Bible that Jesus himself had, It points what's good and what's bad. And we need to know by God's judgment and God's standard what is good and what is bad. That lamp, that word, allows us to walk, and it's light. And I would argue that that light spoken of by the word is a symbolic typology representation of the living word of God, that is Jesus Christ. We walk by the light of Christ because he is the light of men. How should we walk? Well, one of the prophets told us plainly, Micah 6:8, something that you should be familiar with. It says to us, he hath showed thee, O man, now that's talking about God, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Walking humbly is a problem that every one of us have. Because we become puffed up in our knowledge. We become arrogant in our ways of thinking apart from God. But when you come into the light of God, you see all things. You see the way God sees things. And sometimes that's not a pretty picture when you're looking in the mirror. But oh, thank God every moment of every day that he is a forgiving and merciful and just God. And he forgives us even when we fail. When we repent of our sins and ask forgiveness, he does not fail to give us that forgiveness because he loves us. And he shed his own blood on the cross so that we might be reconciled to him. And we learn that in his word. The same verse tells us that God requires us to do justice. That is to not show favoritism. That is to help people when they need help. That is to do things righteously by the standard of God. It tells us to love mercy. Shouldn't we show mercy because we've been shown mercy? Shouldn't we forgive because we've been forgiven? The Bible's very clear on that. And to walk humbly. Now, how would we know what God requires unless we know his word? You know, anybody can stand up in a pulpit. Any preacher can get on the TV and tell you all kinds of things. But how does it compare to the Word of God? If he says something, let's say something totally insane, like Jesus didn't die on the cross. Well, we go to his Word and we prove by the Word of God, the true Word, because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, thy Word is true. That the truth is that he did. And this person needs to be either taught or not listened to or fled from in some cases. Because they don't know his word. Then the psalmist says something very interesting. He states that he is sworn. That means pledged with an oath and confirmed or will perform. That means believed is true with all his heart and actionable and does that. He has declared that God's word is that for him. He has declared that he will keep its righteous commands, those judgments that God talks about. Thus agreeing with God that his word is true and is to be obeyed. You're sitting here this morning in obedience to the word of God. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. And in obedience to that, you are here. In obedience, you are praising him with songs and with prayers. And in your heart, you're giving God all that you have. At least you should be. Because you are listening to his word. Without knowing his word, his written word, how do you know what God wants? How do you know what he expects of you? It's a dangerous thing when we treat God's word with a sleight of hand. All of this is occurring when this person who's writing the psalm is afflicted, when he's down, when he's depressed, when he's ill, when he's weary, when he's tired. And I can guarantee you, everyone in here, even the young people, have experienced one of those emotions at some time. We've all been tired. We are all weary for a lot of different reasons. Some of us are depressed. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are ill. But brothers and sisters, God's light, God's word, living and written, show us the way to be happiness and joy and encouragement through what his word says. But if you don't know it, how are you going to understand it? Being a pastor, sometimes we get into conversations with people who don't believe. And I've been told so many things that the word of God doesn't say that the person who tells me believes it. And I've had to say, look, just go read it for yourself. The other day I was told that Moses was on the ark. And, you know, I chuckled just like you did. But, you know, that is a serious misunderstanding because the person who had been talking to actually had been going to church for quite a while. They weren't a believer, but they had felt comfortable in church. And I said, look, it was Noah first, but read what God sent to you. The whole Bible is a letter, not only the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy and all those things, it is a letter from God to you, and it is true, and it is trustworthy, and by it we teach, and we rebuke, and we exhort, and we do all those things, because that's the way God wants us to handle His Word, rightly divide it, study it, understand it, so that we can know what He wants. We're not learning it just to say, I know more than you do. No, we don't do that. We do it because that is what God calls us to do as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to get into that Word, to write about it, to dig all the jewels that we find out of it, and to live it out. To live it out. You see, the Word truly enlightens a believer to the ways of God. To an unbeliever, it is merely ink on paper until the Holy Spirit quickens the heart and mind, enlivens the reader with the reality of the truth, and acts as an agent, pointing that person to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the Word of God is active, and the Bible says it's sharp as a two-edged sword. It is righteous, and it is the one measure by which we as Christians can be taught, can have application, and be judged. Now, of course, when man is judged, when Christians are judged, we're judged by Christ at the new seat. We understand that. But it is by the Word of God that all men will be judged. And if you're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you better make those arrangements before you meet God face to face. Let me put it that way. You notice when we start talking about the Word, the living and the written Word, the world, and I would use this category of apostate Christians. What do I mean by that? I mean people that call themselves Christians but do not believe the Word of God. They get angry. They get very angry. Oh, they can stomach one loving a Jesus that they made up, a wishy-washy kind of guy that, you know, winks at you when you're sin, and everybody's going to heaven, everything's going to be okay. No, that is not the Jesus of the Bible. But how would we know that? Well, to love Jesus by the knowledge of the true Word, rightly read and understood by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and lived out, that kind of faith cannot be tolerated by people who do not believe. But if they understood the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moves upon their heart, they will be, well, let me put it this way, the veil will be taken away. And the Holy Spirit will move on that person, and they will come to understand that what God has to offer them and what how much He loves them and what He did for them. But you can only know that by being in the Word of God. They do get angry. But a true Christian will love and cherish the Word of God. For it is by the Word that we learn of God's commands, His expectations, and His love, and His mercy. Those are the things we cling to. Because we realize without Christ, we have no hope. But with Christ, we have all hope. All hope. How are we to understand the cross and the empty tomb, the Bema Seat, or the return of our King without knowing the very Scriptures which explain it to all of us? Foolish people try to use the wisdom of men to understand the Word of God. You cannot. You cannot. Colleges are filled with people who are writing things about the Word of God that have nothing to do with the Word of God. It's all what men think. And last time I checked, most of us men sometimes don't have a clue, all the ladies said. We men do not trust, should not trust our own intellect, but the very Word of God. Now, He trains us up. He educates us. He gives us wisdom when we ask for it, as James says. He does all these great things, so we're not left like orphans. He is with us, and He gives us what we need via the Word and via miracles and via His Holy Spirit. We understand that. I want to say today that it is only by the power of the Spirit of God as granted in salvation can one truly get it with the Word. Only by the Holy Spirit can the lamp be lit and used to guide our way straight out of the cave of darkness into the kingdom of our glorious Savior Jesus Christ. And we better appreciate it, because there's going to come a time when the Word is going to be taken from us. Now, I'm not talking politics. I'm talking what the Word of God says. Read Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send, this is God sending, a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, or hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. It's because God has sent that famine. Why? Because people treat His word, treat His law, treat His commands, treat His love and merciful Son, Jesus Christ, as just a throwaway item. Yeah, I can believe that, or I don't have to believe it. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God's clear. The Word of God's clear. I take what I just read in Amos as a time when God will allow His Word to be forgotten by some, ridiculed by others, and discarded even by people who claim to know God. Man's ways will overwhelm people, even people who are the most, for lack of a better term, most saved-appearing people you will find. Man's ways will overwhelm them. That is why you must now learn, love, and leave the Word behind you so that your children and your grandchildren will come to know God as we do. There's so many distractions in this world for us. There's all kinds of things. Now, some things are good, and you can enjoy all things in your Christian liberty, so I'm not fussing at people who enjoy these things. Don't misunderstand. But, you know, when you put sports, or you put hunting, or you put your family, or you put your job, or you put everything else before God, who is your God? Who is your God? If none of those, you are your own God. You sit upon the throne. Now, you know yourself better than I do. Do you think when you stand before a holy God, or being judged by His standards, that your life has been good enough? Brothers and sisters, it's not. So how do we learn how to be good enough? But circle back into that lamp. It's through His Word. It is through His Word. It is during the time that the lamp of the Word guides our path, that we can see clearly. When our eyes allow the light of the living Word of God to enter into our minds and bodies so that we can navigate this world, we can find our way out of that darkness by His Word, by the light that is unto our feet, the lamp that is unto our feet and the light that is unto our path, that we can see the living light of Jesus Christ and we can see our way into the future. And the future is coming faster and faster. All other lights, supposed lights, are being extinguished. You know, one time when I was hunting with some of my kinfolk, we were at night, and we were hunting foxes and coyotes. They'd been getting into some livestock. We were out in the woods, and I saw this glow coming from over in another way, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And we got closer, and it was glowing. But it wasn't a real light. And then my grandfather explained to me it was foxfire. It's luminescence that when plants and logs rot, you know, sometimes they get a glow about them. But it was a false light. It wasn't real light. All other lights are going to be extinguished. Our own breath will even stop one day. Philosophies and high-sounding arguments are to be torn down in the brilliant glory of God's presence. All of the other so-called religions will succumb to the truth of the word of the God of Israel and the God of the Gentiles, Yahweh God, Jesus Christ the Lord. The word itself tells us that anyone who is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, anyone that has not walked according to the light of God's word and the light of the Son of God, will be cast into the lake of fire. We don't like preaching on that. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth of the word of God. It not only teaches, it warns. And it warned that things are good. Now, do you remember when we talked earlier when Jesus told us to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking? Well, this is how we are to act concerning the Word of God. We ask to understand, for it will be revealed to us. Now, just sitting here and reading your Bible, that's good, you should do it. But unless you have the Holy Spirit to illuminate it, unless you have the Spirit of God to teach you what it means and how to act it out in life, it's just ink on the paper. You have to have the Holy Spirit to truly understand the Word of God. We seek it by prayerfully reading it alone and with others. We knock on the door of God's throne room by our status as children of God. And we listen for the knock of Christ that He may come into us as we read, like we read in Revelation 3. We must keep asking. We must keep seeking. And we constantly knock. How many of y'all have heard, I'm gonna wear down God so much beating on the door of heaven that He's probably going to get tired of me and give me what I want anyway? You know, we say that flippantly. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says, seek, ask, knock. Then we should, when we need something, we need to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, You promised me, hear my prayer, and He will hear it. He is a wonderful Lord and Savior. What else can we do, brothers and sisters, but obey the Word? Seek and ask and knock. We need to turn on the lamp. We need to turn on that light. The light shines. And I'm speaking here of Jesus Christ, the living light of men. The light shines. Let us treasure the warm, life-giving glow of the light of men. You know, when you feel close to God, close to Christ, there's no other feeling like it. It's better than any drug or alcohol or relationship or anything. It is, if you are a Christian, it is like becoming one with God. And the Holy Spirit just sends vibrations and tingles. I'm not talking about charismatic jumping pews and stuff. I'm talking about being in the presence of the living God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. There's no other feeling like it. And how would we know to do that? Let's be in His Word. Let us trim our reading lamps and pray the Spirit of God opens up the written Word to us for understanding and strength in this dark and perverse generation. We talked about things in this generation now. Folks, we got people telling us to follow science that can't even tell the difference between a man and a woman. I'm not too high on their version of science. But I am high on the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that in the end times, such types of things will come. So not only they don't hit us unawares. They don't shock us by surprise. We know, and by knowing, we can prepare. We can get even closer to Jesus. We can claim the armor of God, and we can go out on the offense because we know the sword of the Spirit, which is the living Word of God. Let us hide that Word in our hearts so that no man or machine will take it from us. You know, if you never picked up another written Bible in your life, could you recall the words of God? Brothers and sisters, we need to do that. Not just the preachers, not just the deacons, every one of us that calls Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we need to know so that at some point when they try to take us away, take away the Word. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's happening next week. But guys, when they start taking away Dr. Seuss, okay, sometime down the road they're going to go for things that really offend, things that point out people's sin, and that's going to be the Word of God. Know it in your heart. Read it. Know it. Live it. Hide it in your heart so that when the opportunity comes, have you ever been faced with a situation where you don't have a written Bible with you, but something in you, you have a choice or a temptation or something, and the living Word of God pops in your mind, and you say, okay, Lord, I get it. I understand. And you do whatever God's will is in that situation. That's because your word, the Word of God is in your heart because you know it and you live it. And then we need to pass our knowledge of the light of God to our children and our grandchildren so that they will know beyond doubt there is more to our lives in this dead and dying world. I love creation. I love the beauty of the sunshine. I love the snow. I love the rain. I even love the hail sometimes when it's the little small pea type. I love the stormy winds, the clouds. I love the bright sunshine and the warmth. The world? Or should I say the worldly system? Not so much. Because it is a product of a fallen mankind. There is more to this creation than what the world shows us. And we learn of this through the nature that God given us, but made specifically through the Word. So what I say, brothers and sisters, today as I begin to close up, open up your Word. Turn turn on the light of the Spirit of God and use it to guide your steps. Remember our group of spelunkers? They were only 50 feet from the natural light of the cave. This world, its present darkness, its evil, its wickedness has so many traps, and they're only a stone's throw from the truth that will save them, not only now, but for all eternity. And you can only see that escape route, only see that path out of the darkness through knowing what God has to say to you through His Word. Will we be perfect in our efforts? It's true that as fallen creatures, we still sin. We don't want to. It hurts us when I do. But sometimes we do. But it is by grace. By grace we are saved. Through faith. This not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. This grace, this mercy, this forgiveness is a gift of God. For if we confess our sins and repent of them, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How would I know that unless I know 1 John? Unless I know the Word of God. You see, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, if you never hear anything else I say, you need to understand the importance and the glory and the majesty of God's Word to us today. It is just as powerful as it has ever been. It is just as loving and merciful as it's ever been. And it warns us just like it always has. We need to focus. We need to repent, ask forgiveness, and focus our eyes, our lamps into our souls, as Jesus said. Not focused on the evil and the wickedness for ourselves, but focused on the light of life, the light of men. Jesus Christ is presented in the Word of God. His Word tells you of His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His salvation. And we are to share that light with others. Let's go another imagination trip. Imagine you're at home with your children, your grandchildren. Their bedroom's on one end of a dark hallway and your bedroom's on the other. And you hear your child crying out in the night, "Daddy, Mommy, I'm scared. It's so dark." Would you sit in the hallway and just say, "Well, you're just going to have to get over it"? I've known people like that. They're not very nice people. Or would you flick on the hallway? Say, "Come on, child. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Everything's okay." That's what God does for us. When God flicks on the lamp through the Holy Spirit of the Word of God, it shows our way through that cave, through that darkness, through this perverse generation, through that dark hallway, unto the light of the shining of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are assured by the sealing of His Holy Spirit. Tried to explain this morning why it's so important us to know the Word of God. I know men right now that have been murdered because they were trying to get the Word of God to people. You've read on the news where there's a Canadian pastor in jail right now simply because he was preaching. Now, yeah, people can argue he disobeyed the government, but I just remember a little bit about John and Peter when they were before the government of the Sanhedrin. They said, "We'll let you go if you stop preaching." That's exactly what they told Brother Coates up in Canada. "If you promise to stop, we'll let you go." And the words come back. Whether it is better to obey God rather than men, you decide. In our life every day, we need to decide whether it is better to obey God than our own temptations, than our own lusts, than our own sources of enjoyment or pleasure. God's not withholding. God is not some God up there. "I'm not going to let you have any fun." He's not that way. He is a loving, merciful, and kind Father who sent His only begotten Son so that them that believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gives us that everlasting life. It is important that we remember that. So may God bless your engagement with His Word. And may it be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Until that day when we need no more lamps, when we are in the presence of God Almighty and He is the light. There's no sun, there's no moon. We are before the throne of God and His light illuminates all things, as the book of Revelation tells us. That day I look forward to. Let us not become trapped in the evil darkness that this world throws at us when our salvation is so close. Let us use that lamp. This Word of God, let us use this as the lamp and the light that God intended for us. So that we can cry with King David. King David of all people. In 2 Samuel 22:29, he says this. 2 Samuel 22:29. Therefore, let us cry out with King David. Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord illuminates my darkness. Now, I don't want to change scripture because the Bible says don't do that. But I like the word illuminates. But if we truly trust in God, He eliminates the darkness. He gets rid of the darkness. You see, even in that cave, even when those 10 people were scared to death, if they had just had one match, for that moment that match lit, there was no darkness. Darkness only comes when the light is extinguished. And if God turns that lamp on and guides your path, you will never need another light in your life. I'm speaking spiritually. So where do you sit? Where do you stand? Do you think that you have all the light you need because of your own wisdom or your own knowledge or your own position in society? Do you think that? I know many people who believe that. But you know, brothers and sisters, one of the greatest things that you can understand as a believer is back we read in Micah. God is pleased when we love justice, we do mercy, and walk humbly before Him. And when we know God's Word, when we meditate upon it day and night, when we read it, when we teach it, when we listen to it, when we sing it, we praise Him in ways that will allow that lamp to continually burn so that we can see our way in this kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His glorious name. So brothers and sisters, ask yourself, what am I doing now with His Word? When I say Word now, I mean both written and called. The Bible and Jesus Christ. We are saved through faith in Christ Jesus. That's beyond doubt. But the God who gave us this gift sanctified it as truth. Jesus Himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing. You see, that word dividing also appears when Paul talks to Timothy to study to show yourselves approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, dividing in that understanding means to study, to understand, to see what God has, to pull out the gems that God has for you. But you can't do that unless you know Him. Unless you're in right standing. How are you in right standing? Are you a child of God? John 1 tells us that we have the right through Jesus Christ to be called the children of God. Are you? Are you a seasoned saint who's just grown tired and have gotten away from the Word of God and from fully participating in the kingdom here and now? The lamp's on. The door is open. God hasn't moved. You can come back, you can turn around, and you can go straight back to God. If you don't believe, then allow God to show you through His Word and through the Holy Spirit just what He is and who He is and how much He loves you. And if you do love Him, get back in the game. Grab that rope. Look at that light. Walk toward the light that you may find a path that God will. So if God has moved your heart any this morning, as I believe the singers are going to come up and do a closing hymn, I'm going to stand here at the front. If anybody wants to talk or pray, I'm for that. I just want you to understand how much God loves you, and He's given you the gift of His Son, and He's given you the gift of the Word to know about His Son. God bless you.